out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 30th of April, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. It's the start of another week. We're almost into May. The year is just rushing past us. It's a, as I say, it's another month and it's another nationalist meeting. I went to one in Helsinki last month, or a couple of weeks back actually. And I went to Boadicea events over the weekend. It was really good. Excellent meeting. They had really good speakers there. They had Mike Coleman, who I believe was ex-BNP. They had Peter Rushton from Heritage and Destiny. And he also is quite often being interviewed on Press TV, the Iranian news channel. I believe he'd just done a short interview with them that day, actually. There was also Dr. Jim Luthwaite there from, I think he's from the British Democratic Party. Mike Whitby was there. He's also ex-BNP. I think he was a North Wales councillor at some point. And Andrew Bronze, who was European Member of Parliament for the BNP. It was a really good conference. As I say, about 35 people there, 30 to 35 people. And the theme of the meeting was working together. It's obviously non-partisan. It's fairly similar to the London Forum. It's not aligned with any particular group or organisation. Everyone is welcome. There were people there from the Forum. Liam was there, Liam Curnow from the Yorkshire Forum. And of course, we haven't actually had a Yorkshire Forum for about a year. I think he took a step back so that the Southwest Forum could build itself up. But these meetings are really good. It seems that since the fall of the British National Party, which in its heyday was very popular and had lots of councillors and Euro MPs and thousands of members, and after Nick Griffin, it's just fallen apart. But there are still plenty of people out there that were members of the BNP that are wanting to do something. And I think this organisation, which is centred around Blackpool, I think it's mainly centred around members of the BNP branch there. So they've got together and they've got this regular meeting, which they want people to go to, and you can hear good speakers. The next one's going to be September the 22nd, I believe it is. And the next one's going to be concentrating on the victims of multiculturalism. And that's going to be what the subject of most of the speeches. It would be good if we could see some younger people there. I would say most of the people there were over 30. It would be good to see some people in their 20s and younger. I mean, what is really growing in nationalism at the moment is millennials and those that are younger than that, the Generation Z. That's where it's really growing. We've got the American alt-right. We've got the UK alt-right. There's a lot of activity online, but there's not so much of it offline. And it's good to meet up with these people, these nationalists that have been involved for decades. I mean, there was people there that were in their 60s, people in their 70s that have been involved in nationalism for 30 or 40 years. And they've got a lot of experience and they've seen a lot of the things that we come across today. We don't know how to deal with them, and they've come across these subjects before. So it's always worth getting a bit of wisdom from your elders and meeting with them. So it would be good if we could see some younger people at these meetings. It's all very well creating your content and putting it on YouTube or creating your podcast and uploading it online. And that's good up to a point. You know, we've got to have good propaganda. We've got to appeal to people, but we've also got to go out there and meet with people and show that we mean what we say and that we're not just saying things while we're on a camera or saying things into a microphone. We've got to prove that, you know, we live to the ideals that we are talking about. I mean, one of those ideals is that, you know, we are white nationalists. We want to prevent white genocide. So you are only going to see white people at these meetings. The one time that I saw a non-white at one of these meetings, the meeting then got attacked by Antifa, and there were rocks thrown in through the window and some people got thumped. And just a coincidence, I guess it must have been, there was a half-caste female there who was pressing buttons on her phone shortly before the place got attacked. And obviously the theory is that she probably had something to do with it. Straight after the attack, she was jumping up in the air and saying, oh, well, you've got to expect all of this because you're racists. And I believe that the person that brought this non-white into the meeting, he's no longer allowed into any of these meetings. So that is an example there of why we have to keep people white. We have to have only white people. You cannot trust these non-whites. There's another non-white that got involved in these meetings, and he was blackmailing people. So one way that you can be certain that you can trust, well, not you can, I mean, you can't be certain that you can trust everyone, but you are far more likely going to be able to trust people if you just stick to only white people. And you don't have to, you know, there's nothing in the advertising that says only white people can turn up. But it's a private event. So you reserve the right to refuse entry or refuse to tell people about the address to whoever you don't want to go there. Obviously, the address of these meetings isn't made publicly available. When I went to the one in Helsinki, we didn't actually know the venue until the morning of the day itself. And then they said, well, this is the venue. This is where it's going to be. And what we tend to do with the British ones is have a rendezvous point. So we have an RV point. So if you pass the vetting procedure and you get put on the mailing list, then you'll find out on the day itself where the rendezvous point is, and you can go there and meet with people, and then you'll find out where the meeting is, and you know that you've got 6 hours of time that you can spend networking with other nationalists and listening to people speak. And these speeches are very well prepared. I take, for instance, what we had on Saturday at Boadicea Events. We had Mike Coleman from the BNP, and he was talking about how, you know, he's been a nationalist for 20 years, and there was a leftist that was a friend of his that was an anti-racist and anti-nationalist, and he's recently come across him again 20 years later, and the guy's had to move out from where he is on the estate that he's in. And he's admitted that everything that the nationalists were saying was true, and he's now having to move out of his estate because all the houses are being given to non-whites and degenerates. And there's an actual plan in place to give the best houses on these estates to non-whites because they want to break up the white working class communities. And this wasn't an exaggeration, because there were other people there that have seen this happen as well. I believe it was Andrew Bronze actually that said about it in his constituency, exactly the same plan to break up the white working class communities by giving the best houses on these estates to non-whites. And the houses on the estate in question that Mike Coleman was talking about was being given to drug dealers. And so this leftist was having to sell his house and move away. And he admitted that the nationalists had it right. So we heard about the state of Britain today. We also heard from Dr. Jim Luthwaite, and his speech was really interesting. And that was about lies that have been told to us, particularly lies that have been told to us about World War II and the reasons for why we were fighting in World War II and what we were actually told, and about how now it's all about, oh, we were fighting the Nazis. And back then it wasn't the Nazis. It was Germany. The National Socialist Worker Party was just the just a political party at the time. It was actually Germany that we were fighting against, and his speech had a lot of truth bombs in that. And when you have these meetings and you have these speeches, one of the good things about it is that you get a chance to question the speakers afterwards. So you get a bit of audience participation and interaction between people. You have a break where you can go around and talk to people and meet people that you haven't met before, introduce yourself and network. You know, you get plenty of time for networking, and people that you've heard speeches from before are likely to be there. Well-known nationalists whose faces you've probably seen on YouTube, they're likely to be there, and you can talk to them. We had Mike Whitby there, and he was talking about British history and talking about how Britain was, we had Joseph of Arimathea come over here in just a couple of years after the death and the resurrection of Christ, a very, very early time, and that Britain was the first country to become Christian. Important history like that, that we're not taught in schools, and people do not know our heritage here in Britain. And he was talking about how the Saxons with Alfred the Great, and how once he reverted back to the original laws of the country, then there was peace between the Britons and the Saxons. And then, of course, it was time to fight off the Danish. So you learn a lot about the hidden history as well when you go to these meetings. And one of the themes of this particular meeting was our political prisoners, all the political prisoners that we have. Now, there's an organization that's being formed. It's being called The Link. Michael Woodbridge is going to be the main coordinator for it. Michael Woodbridge, I interviewed for Aryan Insights a while back. Some of you listeners might remember the name. You might remember the interview. He was talking about how he was in an East German prison. He was taken by the Stasi and put in an East German prison for 6 months for putting a Hitler was right sticker on a poster of Stalin. I do recommend people have a listen to that interview. But Michael's been involved in nationalism for, 40 years, 50 years? And he's going to be organising or coordinating the political prisoners welfare organisation, which is going to be called The Link. And he's going to be coordinating letter writing to our political prisoners, organising visiting orders so we can make sure that they get visits. Because it's very important that they don't get forgotten about. And we have to keep their morale up while they are in prison. Don't forget, these people are all in there just for speech crimes. And the general public don't know about this. What they read in the papers is that somebody's been arrested under the Terrorism Act. They've been arrested for preparing for terrorism. They don't realize that preparing for terrorism could just be printing off some stickers. Having terrorist documents could just be having a copy of Breivik's manifesto, which is freely available online. I mean, people might want to read that. But even that has been used as an accusation to put against somebody. I mean, recently we had this Finnish soldier called Nico. He was in the British Army, and he's just been given 8 years for having a CS gas canister. I mean, CS gas is legal in Europe. It's used as a rape spray. It's a self-defense weapon. But because he has nationalist sympathies, because there's a picture of him giving a Roman salute at a Finnish war memorial, they said he was a Nazi. Of course, they slandered him. They said he's a neo-Nazi. He's looking for revolution. He wants a race war. All this nonsense. All these things that, you know, it's quite legal and legitimate to say. I mean, you can have these opinions. We have freedom of speech. I mean, they would never tell you that you cannot have these opinions. And the lawyer at the time was saying, well, none of these things are illegal to say. None of these things, these opinions are not illegal to have. What you should be questioning is whether or not, this CS gas was ready to be used against someone in an attack or defense, I guess. And he ended up being given 8 years. And that's purely because of his political sympathies. And other people that we've had that have been put in jail, Lawrence Burns, he's been jailed just for making comments on his Facebook page, private comments in a private conversation. But because it's on Facebook and they want to make Facebook a safe space, he was put in jail. And then, of course, you've got Joshua Bonehill, for making a cartoon which featured a happy merchant and some weed killer and a picture of Auschwitz. That was enough to get him 2 years, I think he got for that. And also because he made up a jokey picture of Luciana Berger with Chaka Omona, the spear chucker, as made up as a baby suckling on her teat. That was enough to get him another 2 years. So he was given 4 years, 4 year sentence just for making a couple of jokey memes up. He's still inside at the moment. Hopefully, Josh will be out soon. And what we need is people to write to these people. Don't forget about them. A lot of the young lads recently that have been arrested and accused of being members of National Action when the organization ceased to exist on the day that it was banned. They put out a thing on the website saying that it was all going to close down. The organization was no more. Nobody should say that they are a member of it, because if they do, they are running a risk of 10 years in prison. And I know the people, I know the people who were the organizers of National Action, and they have ceased to be involved in anything since that time. They're not even involved in any other forms of nationalism, because they know that if they were to get involved in another nationalist group, then Amber Rudd and Theresa May would just ban that nationalist organization. So there's no way that National Action are still doing anything. And all this persecution of the guys that have been accused of being members of it, this is all down to Hope Not Hate, notorious leftist organization that masquerades as a charity that just smears and slanders and lies about nationalists. And one of the cases of the people that are on remand at the moment, they've been accused of plotting to murder an MP. And this came about because Hope Not Hate paid for a spy, which the government are probably going to say was, it was an intelligence agent, an undercover agent. Not an undercover agent. It's somebody paid by this charity, not working for MI5 or MI6, somebody working for this charity, wheedled themselves in with a group of young nationalists who may have been former members of National Action. They're obviously having a drink in a pub. And somebody makes a joke about, killing politicians. Okay, probably a joke in bad taste, but, you know, it used to be regularly said they should all be put up against a wall and shot, or I want to see them swinging from the lampposts. I mean, this is common conversation that you would hear in a pub, especially in the days when I used to go in the pubs. You know, that was a regular conversation. And it was never meant seriously. Of course, these people weren't really going to go hanging politicians or lining them up against a wall and shooting them. But it's a way of expressing your anger at what's being done to the country. You're going to exaggerate these things. And of course, if people were to be swinging from lampposts or line up against a wall and shot, that would be by lawfully done. That would be done because they'd been tried in a court of law and found to be traitors to their race, traitors to their nation, traitors to their country, and they should be executed. I mean, that is the, or it was at least, the punishment for treason was execution until Tony Blair slipped something into an obscure bill a couple of years back and just got rid of the charge of treason, which people didn't really know about at the time. So you've got to be careful of the words that you say. But that's what these guys are in prison for. And don't forget, these are people that are ex-members of National Action that took huge risks in going out and having demonstrations, and the organization was growing. They had lots of interest. They were trying to make a name for themselves by being rather notorious with the propaganda that they put out. And by being notorious, they managed to get themselves in the mainstream press and a meteoric rise from just a loose group of a few friends to, you know, quite a big network and split up into different franchises around the country. The organization was going somewhere, and these young lads were dedicated. Very dedicated. You know, they were going to universities, putting stickers up, going on camps, learning about their history, learning about their heritage, learning about their folk traditions, learning how to defend themselves from leftists. And of course, Hope Not Hate sent a spy on one of these camps, and then they portray it as, these lads were preparing for a race war when all they're doing is learning how to defend themselves. I mean, women learn how to defend themselves. They go on women's retreats, women's courses, where they all talk about what a threat men are and how all men are a rape threat, and they learn how to defend themselves, self-defense courses. I mean, they put on these self-defense courses for women in London and other multicultural areas, especially since this grooming gang epidemic. And yet when young white men go on a self-defense course on a training camp or on a survival camp, rather, they get accused of preparing for a race war by doing so. So these are people that are prepared to stand up for us. They're prepared to be seen on the streets. They want to set a good example. They're not drug users. They're not alcoholics. And they want to do their best. And I mean, you can see this from Generation Identity with the attack film that was made a while back by Hope Not Hate, where they talked about Generation Identity. They said the shocking thing about it is that they're young, they're intelligent, they're good looking, and they don't want to get drunk and be degenerate. And it's that type of person that the politicians are now targeting. It's young people that are intelligent, that can think for themselves, that are not taken in by the advertising and all the subtle encouragement to behave like an idiot and race mix and get drunk and take drugs. And they ignore that. And these courageous people, they don't just ignore all of that, but they then try to wake other people up. And these are the people that are being targeted. They're not in prison for any violent acts. Nobody, no ex-members of National Action were ever charged with carrying out any violent acts. There was somebody that claimed to be a member of National Action, but he was nothing to do with them. And it was proved that he was nothing to do with them. But the press still tried to say that this guy, Zach, I believe his name was, he was a mental case, and he went and attacked some Chinaman. He was nothing to do with National Action, but the press and the media tried to link him with them. So these lads haven't even got any criminal charges against them. Well, the criminal charges that they have now are people like Garen Helm, who's got a criminal record just for criticizing Luciana Berger. And then you see the politicians wailing and screeching about anti-Semitism and how it's absolutely terrible and it's all increasing and these people must be locked up. And all it is criticism of Jewish behavior. Or criticism of an individual. People that are criticizing Luciana Berger were criticizing an individual there. It's not like they were targeting a whole group. They were saying, look, her behavior is Jewish, is typical Jewish behavior, what she's doing, supporting Israel and everything and not supporting her own constituency and not supporting young white males in her own constituency. And these are valid criticisms. So these political prisoners, because that's what they are political dissidents, they need our help. And the best way that you can help them is to write to them. Let them know that they are not forgotten. You don't have to have met them before in the past. You don't have to have spoken to them before in the past. I've never spoken to Joshua Bonehill in the past before, but I make sure I send him a Christmas card every year. And I write down what's been happening during the year. I make sure that it's a nice card, and I know that he's getting cards from other people, and then he can have all these cards up on his wall, which is going to cheer him up. It's going to let him know that he hasn't been forgotten about, that he's still being talked about, that, you know, he's still in our thoughts and in our prayers. So it boosts their morale, and it also means that the prison warders know that prisoner is well thought of on the outside. He has friends on the outside. It means they're not going to badly treat him. They're not going to badly treat someone who has got, or they're not going to treat them so badly if they know that they are well liked and they've got friends on the outside. It's like when Simon Shepherd was in prison, I mean, he was receiving sackfuls of letters because he was a political prisoner. And all the other prisoners were like, how do you get so many of these? And he's like, well, because I'm a political prisoner. Yeah, you know, he's not in there for any violent crime. And these people that Michael is going to be coordinating letter writing to, they're not in there for any violent crimes. Another important side of it is when they come out from prison, they are going to need help. They're going to need rehabilitating back into society. And one of the problems is because they've been charged with thought crime, charged with inciting racial hatred or speech crime, it means that in order to get parole, normally you have to renounce or show contrition for whatever crime it is that you've been accused of. And these people have been put in prison for saying the truth. So they've either got to lie and say that black is white and two and two now equals five, or they can stick with the truth of what they've been saying, and then they won't be given any parole. And then when they are given let out, they will then try, the authorities, the police authorities will then try to keep them away from other nationalists, because they will see it as, we don't want them to be encouraged to get back into terrorism, because of course nationalism, the far right, is now regularly being likened to terrorism by various people, including the head of the anti-terrorist police that accused Tommy Robinson of being as bad as one of the biggest Islamic terrorists that we've ever had in Britain. And he likened Tommy Robinson to him, who's never been accused of carrying out any violent acts in the name of Britain or in the name of white people or of anyone else. So they're going to have problems when they come out. Also, of course, when you've got charges of inciting racial hatred and you've actually been sent to prison, it means you've got a prison record. It means when you're applying for jobs, you're going to have problems. They're just going to see that you've been sent to prison. And if they look into it further, or you tell them what it's about, then the likelihood is they're going to say, well, we have a government directive that we are supposed to promote tolerance and diversity. And don't forget, there was a bill a couple of years back that every company in Britain, every public company and every corporation had to promote diversity and multiculturalism and tolerance. And if you're employing somebody who has stated their political beliefs are patriotic, then they can't employ that person because they're supposed to be promoting tolerance and diversity. So it's going to cause problems for them when they come out getting work. So we need people that are employers, people that are involved in recruitment, people that have good jobs, that are responsible for hiring people. I mean, really, we need people like that to get in touch with us as well and say, I'd be happy to employ these lads when they come out of prison. Most of them have got trades. You know, they're intelligent people, so they're going to have a trade. They're going to have some kind of skills that can be used. So we've also got that as well, and that's going to require money and donations. And of course, you've got Western Spring, who are a philanthropic organization. People should donate money to Western Spring, and Western Spring will then divert that money to where it is most needed. It will divert it to good causes. And Western Spring is going to be helping out with this organization. And then the other side of it is we will also then be able to keep a record of all these political prisoners so that we can say all these people have been jailed for having the wrong opinion. All these people have been jailed for speech crime. And when the members of the public hear that there's dozens of people have actually been locked up for speech crime in Britain for free speech offences, I think the general public is going to be really shocked. I think they really are to know the numbers and how long this has been going on for. Don't forget David Irving locked up in Austria, Simon Shepherd locked up. It's not like this has only just happened now with Count Dankula and his pug dog. And this has been going on against nationalists for years, and it really needs highlighting. And the people that are being sent to prison, they really need our help. They really do. So if you take anything away from this episode of the Daily Nationalist, then make sure it's this: write to our prisoners of war. And at Radio Aryan in the sidebar, you'll see that there's still it looks like a Christmas card. It says, send our prisoners of war a Christmas card. And on there, if you click that link, you'll find addresses of people in America, people in Germany, and people in Britain. And they could all do with a letter. And I'm going to be updating that as and when I get the addresses of these various political dissidents. We've got an address for Alex Deakin on there now, and we've also got an address for Nico that I know a lot of people were asking for. And just to bring it back round to what I was originally talking about, the Boadicea events, this was all spoken about there as well, especially in the introduction. Paul, who was comparing the event, he read out the letter from Nico. I mean, this guy is Finnish as well. He was serving in the British Army. But because we've also got people that from other places in Europe that were helping out British nationalists that have then gone and been arrested for helping out British nationalists and are now in British prisons on free speech offences. This is something that really does need highlighting, because we've got to put a stop to it, and we've also got to help these people while they're in there and also while they are out. Okay, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Nat Danelaw. God bless and hail victory.